This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Leaves Home, text number 22. Tam eva vatshashraya vritya vatsalam mumukshubir migra padabja padatim. Ananya bhave nija dharma bhavite.
Ananya bhave nija dharma bhavite.
Manasya vastapya pajasva purusham.
Manasya vastapya pajasva purusham.
Translation. My dear boy, you should also take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees. Persons seeking liberation from the cycle of birth and death always take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Becoming purified by executing your allotted occupation, just situate the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart, and without deviating for a moment, always engage in His service. Purport. The system of Bhakti Yoga described by Queen Suniti to her son is the standard way of God-realization. Everyone can continue in his constitutional occupational duties, at the same time keep the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart. This was also instructed by the Lord Himself to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Go on fighting, but keep me within your mind. That should be the motto of every honest person seeking perfection in Krishna consciousness. In this connection, Queen Suniti advised her son that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhakta Vatsala, which indicates that he is very kind to his devotees. She said, "You came to me crying, having been insulted by your stepmother, but I am unable to do any good for you. But Krishna is so kind to his devotees that if you go to him, then the combined kindness of millions of mothers like me will be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. When everyone else fails to mitigate one's misery, Krishna is able to help the devotee." Queen Suniti also stressed that the process of approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not easy, but is sought after by great sages who are very advanced in spiritual realization. Queen Suniti also indicated that by her instruction, that Dhruva Maharaj was only a small child, 5 years old, and it was not possible for him to purify himself by the way of karmakanda. But by the process of bhakti yoga, even a child less than 5 years old, or anyone of any age, can be purified. That is the special significance of bhakti yoga. Therefore, she advised him not to accept worship of the demigods or any other process, but simply to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the result would be all perfection. As soon as one places the Supreme Personality of Godhead within one's heart, everything becomes easy and successful. So in this very beautiful verse and purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear what Srila Prabhupada calls the standard process of Krishna consciousness, which he defines as being able to practice devotional service in any order of life, irregardless, whether one's a brahmachari, a grihastha, a vanaprastha, a sannyasi, or a sudra, vaishya, kshatriya, brahmana. Anyone and everyone can practice Krishna consciousness and achieve the perfection of life. And he gives us a perfect example. I guess you could say the most classic example is that of Arjuna. And we know from carefully observing our theatrical production here in our tour of Australia that just prior to the Battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna came on the battlefield and he saw his friends and relatives, associates on both sides. Not just the side of the Pandavas, but by providence, some of his loved ones were also on the other side. So he gave up. He decided not to fight, and his statement to Krishna was that he was going to retire to the forest to practice Krishna consciousness. However, two things. Krishna reminded him that as a Kshatriya, it was his duty to fight, to uphold dharma, religious principles, and number two, that he could do something so passionate as fighting and still be considered Krishna's devotee. You can be a Kshatriya on the battlefield with your sword or your axe or your bow or your brahmastra, killing people. This type of activity is very passionate. To be a fighter, you have to be very much in the mode of passion. But still you could be considered my devotee, Krishna said. There's a general misconception in India and elsewhere, I suppose, that to be truly spiritual, one has to retire from all activities and lead a secluded life in the forest. But as Prabhupada points out on a number of occasions, this may be an option for very few souls, but it's not possible for the mass of people. And neither is necessary. Because Krishna never says in the Gita that we have to change our occupation. The Bhagavad Gita is all about changing your consciousness. There's no instruction about changing your occupation. That would be very difficult. Each of us has a unique ability, which is given by God. To change that would be very difficult. It would be very artificial, actually. Some boys feel very comfortable in the brahmacharya ashram. They wouldn't change if you gave them $1 million. However, some devotees feel more comfortable in the grihastha ashram, eventually the vanaprastha, and for another select few, perhaps sannyas. Some are very comfortable as sudras. They've got the golden thumb. Green thumb means that you can grow nice gardens. Golden thumb means you can repair anything. You're a handyman. You can repair anything and everything. Some boys have that. You just give them a hammer and some nails and a saw, and they can fix anything. What would usually take another person like days, they can do it in 1 minute. They've got the golden thumb. Others feel are naturally situated vaishyas. They like to milk the cows. Just like Gauri was telling us yesterday, that his father's very happy living on the farm. He never even thinks of going into the village, the town, the city. Maybe he goes into the city once for one or two festivals during the year. He's just happy plowing the fields and milking the cows and picking the fruit. Others like to administrate. Bharanayaka feels very comfortable as the TP in Sydney. And some like to preach, like to go out, they feel comfortable. For them, the temple's the street. When they're on the street, they feel closest to Krishna. So you can't change that. Krishna says, I am the ability in man. It would be artificial to change that. So you can't change your occupation. What you have to change, Arjuna, is your consciousness. Don't try to be a renunciate. Look at your shoulders. They're huge, broad shoulders. You've got big biceps, strong legs. You've got calluses on your shoulder. Don't think that you can be a sannyasi. If you become a sannyasi, then you're a wimp. Not that sannyasis are wimps, but just do your duty, protect the innocent, and more important, change your consciousness. Do whatever you have to do for me. That's Krishna consciousness. Like Prabhupada's definition, he said, lust means me, and love means for Krishna. So you can practically do anything. Well, not anything, but there's some things you can't do. You can't be a butcher. But Krishna gives a very broad definition. He's a very kind master. He's a very kind master, Krishna. Very kind. He doesn't make it difficult for us. He said, yat karoshi, yat ashnashi, yat juhoshi, didashi, yat yad tapasya shikunteya tat kurushva mat arpanam. An important verse. He says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, do you give away things? I do. I get lots of things, you know, as a sannyasi or a guru, I get lots of presents, but I can't travel, keep them, I give them away. And whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Things are so simple. By working in this consciousness, one gradually becomes Krishna conscious. It's practice, and practice makes perfect. This isn't the perfection. The perfection is to be fully immersed in love for Krishna. But if you're not in love with Krishna, then you can practice whatever you do, practice doing it for Krishna. And even if you don't have the feeling, it'll come in due course of time. It has to. It's natural. It'll come. You just keep it. Some will make progress quicker than others because some devotees are taking up devotional service for the very first time in millions of births. Others have been practicing for 3 births or 5 births or 1,000,000 births. But it will come. It's natural. If you do the sadhana, the regative practice, it has to come. It's natural. It will come in time. It's so potent. As Rupa Goswami said, as he notes, as a side note, you have to be patient. Stay a little bit patient. So this is Krishna's instruction. And Prabhupada said this is, again, the standard process of devotional service for most people. Whatever you do, do it for Krishna. Now Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the same thing. Why should he say anything different? He's Krishna himself. He's not going to say something different than Krishna. He says the same thing. But he didn't say it in Sanskrit. He said it in Bengali. That's the only difference. It's the same instruction. Maybe he wasn't speaking to Arjuna. He was speaking to the Korma Brahman. There's a good example. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India, he would very kindly stay at the house of whoever invited him, because he was traveling. And so sannyasis, they sometimes live in a palace, or sometimes they live under a tree. But the people considered it a great honor to host Lord Chaitanya. Can you imagine, as a grihastha, hosting Lord Chaitanya and his associates in your house? Whoa. And that's what happened. And it wasn't just that the highly qualified brahmanas were the ones that were given this golden opportunity. Lord Chaitanya was known as Patit Pavana. He was more inclined to the lowly. He was more inclined. Of course, he preached to and delivered exalted souls like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Maharaj Pataparudra, the leader of the Mayavadis. What's his name? Prakashananda Saraswati. And mainly he was with the mass of people. His movement was to create a spiritual revolution, actually. So he was out also on the street with his Harinam party, putting on festivals. This is what he was doing. He was, and he would accept the invitation of low-born people to demonstrate the purpose of his coming. That he considered, actually, from the spiritual perspective, in Kali Yuga, everyone has fallen. So he accepted the invitation of this householder, humble householder. Now this householder, this Brahman, he was very much in awe of this sannyasi, who was very beautiful. Actually, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya warned him. He said, you've taken sannyas at, you're a little early, you're only 24. And you're a very handsome man. You're very handsome, and this is a little dangerous. But Lord Chaitanya was very tall, and he was the Supreme Lord. Everything was perfect, down to the detail in his form. And thus he enchanted many people. Just the sight of him, people would be swooning seeing his golden form, chanting in great ecstasy. So he stayed in that, and this Brahmana was very much in awe of the Lord and his Sankirtan party. So a desire came in his heart as a result of this sadhu sangha. This is the result of sadhu sangha, the spiritual desires in your heart is like a churning of the ocean. And when you associate with materialistic people, the material desires start to churn. This is very dangerous. Asat sangha tyaga, Mahaprabhu warns us. Don't associate with materialistic people, because even if you're very strong in Krishna consciousness, by that association, the churning of the ocean of desires in the heart will become manifest. And you may act on them. You may deviate. You may fall down. Rather, sadhu sangha, sarvashastra koi lava matra, sadhu sangha, sarvasiddhi hoy. Be smart. Always keep in good association. And then the spiritual desires are always churning within your heart. So because of that good association, not good, but the best of all association, the Lord, he got some desire. He said, hey, I want to leave with you guys. Just like when Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami had his famous Radha Damodar, infamous, it depends if you were a devotee or a temple president. One of the effects of Maharaj coming through America with his Radha Damodar traveling Sankirtan, it was a fantastic program, especially when he joined up with Vishnu John Maharaj. Maharaj was like managing and organizing and preaching, of course, but Vishnu John was out on the street leading the Harinam, the Sankirtan. They had book distribution going on, Harinam, festivals, devotee making. It was just like drowning America in the ocean of devotion. Huge. Then they broke up into different buses like that. But one of the problems was that whenever Maharaj would come through a temple, all the brahmacharis would want to leave with him. And in those days, there were lots of brahmacharis. Not like today, you have a little spot of orange here and a spot of orange over there. Today we have Devamrita Maharaj's disciples. We've got a big splash of orange here in the temple room. But nowadays you see, you know, there's all the white Paramahansas. And there's a little splash of orange here. But this, when Maharaj would come through with his Radha Damodar party, then there's a lot of brahmacharis, and inevitably they wanted to go with Goswami Maharaj because he was also a very attractive personality. Great leader, great general in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. All the boys that either they'd ask for permission or they'd just run away. So the temple presidents, you know, they became very angry. There was actually a move to stop Radha Damodar. And eventually it culminated in Maharaj is going to China. History played out that way. I think it was ultimately Krishna's desire. But anyway, like that, my point is that when Maharaj came through with his brahmacharis and singing and dancing and just this, you know, going out in the streets and distributing books, and brahmacharis, hey, I want to go with these guys. So the same thing when Lord Chaitanya came through this town and stayed with the Kurma Brahman. The Brahman, who was a householder, wasn't really appropriate, but he got this strong desire. I want to go with you guys. What did Mahaprabhu say? The Brahman actually begged him. He said, Kripa kara Prabhu mora yan tama sange sahiti ne pare dukha vishaya tarange. The Brahmana begged Lord Chaitanya, my dear Lord, kindly show me favor and let me go with you. I can no longer tolerate the waves of misery caused by materialistic life. But just like Krishna instructed Arjuna to stick to his duty while remembering him, this is the standard process of Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya said to the Brahma, Prabhu kahi, Prabhu meaning Mahaprabhu, Prabhu kahi, achi bhat kabu na kahiba, Grihe Rahi Krishna Nam Nirantara Laiba. Mahaprabhu said, don't speak like that again. Better to remain at home and chant the holy name of Krishna constantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Of course, that's not, we have to understand that with our intelligence. It doesn't mean that the grihasa just stops working and stays home and chants Hare Krishna. That's not what Mahaprabhu meant. What it means is either we're chanting the holy names or we're serving the holy names. Only a rare sadhaka can actually chant all day long. Prabhupada didn't encourage that. We're working to spread Krishna consciousness. Some rare souls, they can chant lakhs. They can chant 22 hours a day like Haridas Thakur. We're going to do it. But we can still be intimately connected by serving the holy name. That we can go out and preach Krishna consciousness. We're not chanting Hare Krishna. We're giving lectures and we're distributing books. We're not chanting Hare Krishna all day long. We're serving the holy name. Or we're working. And we're giving a certain percentage of our salary to the movement. That's not easy to give blood. Money is like your blood. You know, nobody wants to really give their blood. Of course your body will regenerate it, but it's a little uncomfortable to give you blood. So for the grihastras, the hard work, the blood is the money. And to give it away, you know, it's difficult because families, the better I put it away for security in the future, something. But no. Some given percentage must be given. This is the dan, this is the charity, this is the austerity. Austerity is always a little painful. Austerity has to be painful. It can't be just, there's no such thing as easy. My austerity is instead of 6 ice cream cones, I'm going to eat 5. No. Austerity means you fast, or you read more, or you sleep less, or whatever. You do something that's a little uncomfortable for the body, but is helpful for spiritual progress. Not severe austerities, but just to kind of cut down the tendency for sense gratification, accept some austerity in your life. So for the grihastras, for the sannyasis, the austerity is traveling. Not easy to travel. The brahmachari is living in the ashram and studying. For the woman is staying home and taking care of the kids and cleaning the house and still having a smile on your face when your husband comes home. How are the kids? They're like, great. And for the man is to give some of that hard-earned wealth for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness. It hurts, but it's necessary and it's purifying. So, Mahaprabhu has been saying, you know, always chant Krishna's name. It didn't mean necessarily sitting, closing the doors and shutting down the business. It meant serving the holy name according to one's capacity. Mothers raising children, for the husband making money. This is what he meant. Because realistically, the greater part of society will be grihastras. And naturally and gratefully so. Because they support the brahmacharis, they support the vanaprasthas, and they support the sannyasis. They're the breadwinners. So, what would be the result of following such an instruction of Lord Chaitanya? Well, he would be a good devotee as a grihastra. And what's more, by following that instruction, he could even become spiritual master. Because Mahaprabhu also quoted that classic verse in that section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In fact, this following verse was said to the Kurma Brahmana. And it's a verse that every Sankirtan devotee, it's like the golden rule. Yari dheke tari kaha Krishna upadesh. Amara agyan guru hana tara edhesh. He told the Kurma Brahmana, the grihastra, the attached grihastra. He said to him, instruct everyone to follow the orders of Sri Krishna as they're given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, my dear Kurma Brahmana, who wanted to leave home, you stay home with your family and become guru. Become spiritual master. And by your potency, you deliver everyone in this land. So my point is, he didn't tell him to change his varna, his ashram, his akhya. He said, no, you stay right where you are. You're doing good. You're a good grihastra. Just chant a lot and preach a lot, and you can even become guru. Generally, we think of married life as an impediment to Krishna consciousness. But if it's performed in full Krishna consciousness, it's an asset. In one sense, there's no need to really leave family life. If husband and wife are engaged in devotional service, we mentioned the other day that out of 12 Mahajans, 8 are Grihastras. Swayambhur Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapila Manu Pralado Janaka Bhishmo Balar Vayashakir Vayam. Lord Brahma, Narada, Shiva, the four Kumaras, Kapila, Swayambhuvamana, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishan, Bali Maharaj, and I, Yamaraj, myself, we know the religious principles. These are the supreme authorities in Krishna consciousness. You can't go higher. The buck stops there, as we say. These are the authorities in Krishna consciousness. The supreme court is our supreme court. They're even higher than the GBC. And 8 of them are Grihastras. Brahma, Shiva, Kapila, Swayambhuvamanu, Prahlad, Janaka Maharaj. If there was no, if Janaka Maharaj left home, there'd be no Sita. Bali Maharaj and Yamaraj. They stay eternally with their wives. But as an example, well, they're transcendental personalities. To set that example, you don't have to leave home. One devotee said to me, then why didn't Srila Prabhupada set that example for us? Well, because his wife wasn't acting like the wife of Lord Brahma, the wife of Lord Shiva, the wife of Lord Kapila. She wasn't acting like the wife of Janaka Maharaj. She had other inclinations. She actually never took initiation. She was Prabhupada's wife, and Prabhupada took initiation from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but his wife never, he said she was never inclined. Now that must have been a little frustrating. The Prabhupada went to the temple and, you know, because she wasn't so inclined, she probably didn't always go, or, you know, when it came time to give donations, Prabhupada would put out a certain amount and she'd probably complain, don't give that much. I'm just taking educated guess here. And it made household life a little difficult. The household life works when you have the common interest. And to the degree that you have a diversified interest, it doesn't work. So we can always disagree on material things because we're all different individuals. So there's sometimes a fight between husband and wife. That's not so important. But there has to be this common interest of Krishna consciousness and the standard process. And then family life goes very smoothly. Especially if you're working to raise your family and you're preaching Krishna consciousness. Just like Pratapana and Jayashree. They've raised a wonderful family in Krishna consciousness. They've worked hard. Plus, they're preaching in a huge way. And they have a good marriage. It's a good example. Very nice example. We're all here by their grace. I mean, my tour. But Prabhupada's wife, apparently, he said she wasn't so inclined. So, of course, we shouldn't think of her as just some ordinary soul. She was the wife of a pure devotee, so I'm going to stop there. But my point is that if both husband and wife are serious, they can lead an honest householder life and preach Krishna consciousness. So Mahaprabhu didn't say to the Brahmana, just make lots of money, build a big house, have heaps of kids. He said, that may be there, but he said, instruct everyone to follow the orders of Sri Krishna as they're given in the Bhagavad Gita. So, philosophy and lots of examples there. You don't have to change your occupation or your ashram. We just have to cleanse our hearts. That is the standard process that Prabhupada is speaking about here. Of course, that in and of itself, whether you're a brahmachari, a grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, whether you're a sudra, vaishya, kshatriya, brahmana, it's not easy. Just stay where you are, but don't expect it's going to be easy. It's going to be difficult for all of us, irregardless, it's going to be difficult. This is what Prabhupada goes on to say here. It's going to be difficult because the heart is very contaminated. Why is the heart so contaminated? Because, as Prabhupada said, we've been dragging it across the coals, he just uses that analogy, the coals of material existence since time immemorial. We've been engaged in this process of not Krishna consciousness, but material life for millions of years. Don't be surprised if it gets difficult sometimes. Don't be surprised. It's like Prabhupada said one time, don't be surprised who goes. He said, be surprised who stays in the movement. Don't be surprised that someone may become discouraged and leave. Be surprised that someone is serious enough to take up the challenge and proceed forward in Krishna consciousness. Because there's a hard residue of desires in the deeper chambers of the heart. Just like I was trying to think of an example, and I came up with the wok. Not wok, but wok. W-O-K. You go to the kitchen now, you'll see I don't know here, but generally in some temples you go to the kitchen and the pots and pans are real clean, the knives and the cooking spoons and where you do the cabbage, that little thing that grates the cabbage, you know. But then when you look at the wok, it doesn't generally look like it does when they bought it. The wok is covered underneath with a certain residue from the fire, am I correct? Especially in India, you see on the streets, they're cooking the puris, they're cooking the gulab jamuns, they're cooking, and they keep cooking. It's been sitting there, grandpa used it, great-grandpa used it, you know, it's been passed down through quote-unquote disciplic succession. That thing's, you know, about 3 inches thick with whatever residue on either side. Now, someone asks you to clean that, well, that's comparative to what we're doing, Prabhus. We have this wok. Our heart looks like a wok. It takes a little time. Don't get discouraged. Bhama Samhita says, we make progress in small increments. So you first have to realize the challenge. Don't be naive. There's a great challenge ahead. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya daratyaya. Even Krishna says, very difficult to clean the wok. Well, what he says, it's very difficult to overcome these material energy. But it's possible because we see amongst us there are devotees making advancement to various degrees. Everyone's making advancement to varying degrees. The good news is that you don't have to do it yourself. And that's where Prabhupada brings in the concept, not the concept, he brings in the person, he brings in the trait of Krishna, that he's bhaktivatsala. That this very difficult process of Krishna consciousness becomes easy. Why? Because bhaktivatsala, the Lord takes compassion. You may be in there cleaning that wok and no one really takes notice and no one comes to help you, but in the process of devotional service, Krishna is bhaktivatsala. He's very inclined to help his devotees. And the example of the expression is given in this purport, and although Prabhupada doesn't mention it directly, it's obviously in relationship to Dhruva Maharaj. Because Queen Suniti said to Dhruva, you've been insulted by your stepmother, and you've come to me for help, but she's the superior queen. I'm the inferior queen. I'm secondary. So what can I do? And even if I could help you, whatever help I could give, it's insignificant compared to what Krishna or God can give you. So get out of here and go to the forest and find Krishna. He'll be able to fulfill your desires. Because he's bhaktivatsala. He's very kind to his devotees. And then she says something very beautiful. You were listening very carefully. She says, the combined kindness of millions of mothers like me will be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. So we should search out Krishna. Why? Because he's also there for us. The combined kindness of millions of mothers like me will be surpassed by his affectionate and kind, tender dealings for you as well. And we saw that with Dhruva. That came true because the Lord very quickly fulfilled, he immediately gave him a planet, eternal planet in the material world. That's pretty nice of him. Dhruva was just, I just want a kingdom bigger than dad's. It could even be 1 foot bigger, as long as it's bigger than my dad's. Because he was insulted by his father. See, he was Khatri, had that Khatri of blood, that passionate blood, like we say, we were discussing yesterday about Brazil. So that Latin blood, a passionate blood. So he had that passionate Khatri of blood. So as soon as he's offended, a Brahmana, he'll just tolerate Tatikshiva, Kunika, Shurinam, Sharvadehinam, Achata, Shatavan. A Brahmana with a Khatri, hey, what did you say? You offended Krishna? Hey. So he's immediately, so you're going to treat me like that, Dad? You look, you watch. I'm going to get a kingdom bigger than you. What kind of big man are you? I'm going to get a kingdom. So even if it was 1 foot bigger, say it's bigger than yours. Ha 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 ha. It's kind of childish. What did he get? He got a planet that survives destruction when the cosmos is destroyed. The pole star. It's a spiritual planet. That's what he got. But what did he really get? What he really got was he got the intimate, the opportunity for intimate, confidential, loving relationship with Krishna. And there's no higher bliss than that. Tadha rajas tamo bhava kama loba dayas chaye. Cheta etair anavidam shtitam satve pashiditi. As soon as irrevocable service is established in the heart, the effect of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. The devotee is thus established in pure goodness, and he becomes, Prabhupada quotes, completely happy. Happy. Like yesterday on Harinam. What a Harinam. We have to give Prahlad a big round of applause. 4 hours of chanting Hare Krishna. At the end of the first hour, Prahlad said, so, ladies and gentlemen, he didn't actually stop. He was playing the accordion and speaking in the microphone, as keeping the kirtan going, the current, and speaking to the people. So we have to go now, have to go back to our temple, so thank you very much, and we'll see you again next year. But then he started chanting. We were still there 1 hour later. And then after 2 hours, at the same pace of the kirtan, it wasn't going up, and it was just the same pace. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. This mantra, this is yoga, kirtan yoga, and explain a little about the holy name. So now we're going to go home, and then so see you later. And then he starts chanting. And then 3 hours later, now we're really going to go home. And then 4 hours later, now we're really going to go home. But in the midst of those 4 hours, how many people danced with us yesterday? And danced their hearts out. And danced on the side, came in the kirtan, danced with the devotees, learned all those complicated steps of the Matajis. I can't figure it out myself. Some of those people had figured it all out. They were dancing there. I think the sweet balls were gone in 30 seconds that we were distributing. But you could see that people became happy. There's the practical proof. Pure devotional service. What's the purest devotional service? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Oh, so nice. So, what a kirtan. I think that was an historic, one of Sydney's most historic kirtans. And nobody asked us to leave, although we're not allowed to go to Bondi Beach officially. Actually, we're not allowed to go there. We went there, and we were right in front of the pavilion for 4 hours, and nobody came out and complained. Either they were too drunk to do so, or it was just, I think it was because it was Christmas Day, there was no one working, and all the officials in the town, they went off somewhere. But there was a big police car right next to us, and you know, to make sure. And they were like, I saw the girl policeman, she was rocking back and forth. And the man was going, oh, yes. Just doing like that. So, the service is difficult, but Prabhupada said, although it's difficult, Bhaktivatsala Krishna will help his devotee. In this age, he gives us a great incentive, which is chanting Hare Krishna. So then she concludes, with one very important statement. She says, when everyone else fails to mitigate one's misery, Krishna alone is able to help the devotee. She's very honest. She said, well, I couldn't help you. I can't help you. If you want to fulfill this type of desire, I'm the second wife. I can't arrange for a kingdom greater than Dad's. I'm dependent upon your father. But I know, she must have known because she's living in the palace, and living in the palace, the sadhus used to visit the palaces to help deliver the kings and to speak in the assemblies. And sometimes they were consulted for important decisions. So she must have heard from the sadhus this divine knowledge. And she said something very interesting, that when everyone else fails to mitigate misery, Krishna alone is able to help the devotee. This is very important because we're all suffering. So everyone's ears should perk up. Just as much as they perk up when we hear the mantra, sadhirvidyajada, ding, like the ears go. We should perk up. Oh, Krishna alone is able to mitigate my misery. Are you dealing with any misery in this world? Actually, mitigating, it's an interesting word, mitigating misery is what life's all about. Life's not about enjoying. No, because life means two things, as we often point out in our public lectures. Life means a world of duality, black and white, up and down, day and night, happiness and distress. And we sometimes give the formula that we read in one magazine, that in America they did a survey and they found out that 5% of the time people are happy. 5% of the time they're miserable. And 90% of the time they're just bored. So what's this whole thing about happiness? I mean, there's some people working out pretty hard out there, but the general rule holds, 5, 5, and 90. Most of the time they're bored. But we would say our ratio is, we wouldn't even give it 50-50, happiness and distress. Life is more about avoiding distress. And your spare time, you have a little happiness. We spend more time trying to offset misery than we do enjoyment. Just a practical example. People spend 5 to 6 days, and everybody, devotees as well, we spend 5 to 6 days a week working to offset the miserable material existence. You need a house so you don't get cold, or you're too hot, or the snow, or any place to live. You have to pay the insurance. You got to have a car to get from one place to another. You know, this is all to offset the harshness of just to live in the forest. Is not, I mean, it's a very romantic idea. I'll go live in the forest as a mendicant, but it was extremely difficult. You're going to experience it in a few days, Prabhu, when we go to the Pete's Ridge Festival and live in some camping tents to preach Krishna consciousness. It's not going to be easy. There's one toilet for 100 people per ratio and one shower. And already people have been saying, Maharaj, can we come back in the evening? And I'll make sure I make it there on time. So we spend a lot of time just trying to mitigate any misery that might come. And on the weekend when we have some free time, then we're fixing the house, cleaning the garden, preparing the tax report, or working out so we don't get fat, we can stay healthy. Where's the happiness? It's mitigating misery. But you can never alleviate it altogether. And as Queen Suniti very wisely points out, only Krishna can do that. So why aren't we completely free from all misery? Because it's a question of love is a two-way street. It's a question of reciprocation. To the degree that we surrender, Krishna gives us his mercy. If you're fully surrendered, then Krishna's mercy in whatever form it may be is fully available to you. Krishna's always ready to help his fully surrendered devotee. And we see that Dhruva came to the point of full surrender. Because when he had the temptation of material sense, he just said, no, I'm only interested in this jewel of your association. This glass of this planet, can you imagine? They get the planet, it's all hit. This planet is compared to glass to one moment of your jewel-like association. He proved himself, so Krishna be fully surrendered. Krishna is always ready to help his fully surrendered devotee in any way, means, or manner to the degree that we're surrendered. Just like in the famous story of Krishna and Draupadi. One time Draupadi, she approached Krishna. She said, "Krishna, you know, a few days ago, I was being stripped naked in the assembly of kings between the Pandavas and the Kurus. She was being stripped in the assembly hall by Dushushan. Why did you take so long to save me?" So Krishna said, "Well, my dear Draupadi, the first thing you did was take shelter of Arjuna and Bhima. You didn't look to me. You said, 'Arjuna and Bhima, can't you see what's happening to your wife? They're violating my chastity right before your eyes. Arjuna! Bhima, do something!'" At that time I thought, well, I'm not really needed because you didn't call for me. You didn't call my name. Then you turned to Drona and you said, "Drona, you're the teacher of the Kauravas and the Pandavas. You're a Brahmana. You're a Brahmana. How can you tolerate it? How could any educated person tolerate a woman being stripped naked, especially in a public assembly with honorable kings there? But you weren't calling me. You were calling Drona." I felt, well, I guess I'm not really needed. After that, you turned to Bhishma, the most powerful and respected grandsire, grandfather. He didn't help you. Then you turned to Dhritarashtra, and then one by one to all the kings. And when that all failed, you tried to protect yourself. You held on to your sari with both hands. Krishna said, she thinks she's very strong. She thinks that she can fight Dushushan. Perhaps I should just go now. Krishna, this is the Mahabharata. She thinks she's so strong, she can fight Dushushan. I sought her to leave the assembly. Then suddenly, you threw one of your hands up in the air, and you called out to me. But I thought, she's calling out to me, but she still believes in her own strength. She's still holding on with one hand. And just before I was about to leave the assembly hall, you let go. Atmanivedanam. You became my fully surrendered devotee. See what it takes, Prabhus? Not that we wish this upon anyone, but sometimes it takes these type of situations for us to become fully surrendered, to realize that we have no other shelter but Krishna, Guru and Krishna. Sometimes if we're a little hesitant, Krishna just, he nudges us, puts us in a situation, "Oh no, Krishna!" But we're like, and we're still holding on to our insurance policy or whatever. "Just before I left the assembly, you raised both hands. Hey Krishna, hey Govind. Only then I came, because I saw that you understood only I could save you." So when we see ourselves, when we ourselves are fully surrendered, then and only then we can expect that full reciprocation. So this is a very good verse and very good purport, actually, taking us from the initial stages of Shraddha, a little interest, actually. Shraddha is described as faith. But ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha ta bhajana kriya anarta nirviti syat, and on. This purport today covers the whole spectrum of Krishna consciousness. How Dhruva was just so disturbed and he wanted to accomplish something material, and mother acted as his first guru, you could say, and told him, "You go to the forest to get." So he went, and then he had the opportunity to choose between Maya and Krishna, and he chose Krishna, and he got the material benediction. It was insignificant. He was satisfied. Yayatma supasiditi, just with pure devotional service. He became fully surrendered, so the Lord gave himself fully to Dhruva. Very nice. The whole, if you were on an island and, you know, you had no books and some Bhagavatam, just a page of the Bhagavatam floated in onto the shore, and it was this verse and this purport, that's all you had, you could become Krishna conscious. If you just took this page out and, you know, you went to a lonely, if you just had that, all instruction is here for becoming fully Krishna conscious. Vantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Vaki Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Mo.